Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for joining us today. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning specifically at verse 26. Again, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying it, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verses 26 to 38, Luke chapter 1. Lord, we thank you for the many ways that your word guides and blesses and counsels and strengthens us in life. We thank you, Lord, for the example of great women and men of God who are role models to us in so many ways and vessels through which you taught us many things. Thank you in a special way today for the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Mary. Thank you for the calling you placed upon our life, and thank you for her faithfulness to fulfill that call as well. Lord, help us to learn much and draw much, to glean much wisdom, grace, and insight that you gave to us through her life. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thank you again for joining us today here on Hour of Intercession. We'd like to invite and encourage you, please take time to go to our Facebook pages and like the pages Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and we invite you to tune in with us live on Hour of Intercession Live if you choose to. Also, we want to encourage you to take time to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Please go to the website and subscribe, and also there are a number of blogs that I think you'll find encouraging and uplifting, and one or two in particular that are special, just kind of special blogs in honor of Mothers and Mother's Day. Hope you'll take time to go to the website. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. And also, we want to remind you once again, we do have free mobile apps for you. Mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. Simply go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. And that way, of course, you can take, by way of app, you can take Urban Family with you anywhere you just may choose to go. So I hope you'll take time to be sure and do that. Today, we're looking in the Word of God and looking specifically at the topic of life lessons from the mother of the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you to keep this very important point in mind. Again, if you're one who's not reading your Bible every day, you really don't know what you're missing, because the fact is God does so many powerful things in the life of anyone and every believer who is a faithful student of God's Word. The Word of God feeds us, it feeds our spirit, it empowers us, it more and more helps us to grow, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we read and meditate on it. And also, remember too, God's Word says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you want your faith to grow? Well, the Bible doesn't say to fast for faith. It doesn't say to pray for faith. It doesn't say pull your hair out for faith. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you read and meditate on God's Word, that's one of the powerful, the great ways whereby our faith will really begin to grow and develop and become a vibrant faith that we are to put to work in our lives every single day. So again, as we're looking at the topic of life lessons from the mother of the Lord Jesus, we're looking in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And interesting to think, too, often we read these passages around Christmas time, and that's a good time to read them, too. But they're important life lessons that we can draw from these passages. And of course, as we're looking today specifically at the life of Mary, the mother, the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, there's some important truths that apply, obviously, at Christmas time, but all the rest of the year as well. So as we looked in Luke chapter 1, we saw where the angel Gabriel first approached Mary and let her know that she was going to be the mother. She was called by God to be the mother of the Messiah. And one of the initial lessons or points that I really want you to really focus on is that Mary, as you look at the passage, she embraced her calling from God. God called her and appointed her to be the mother of the Messiah. Now, of course, that was a once in all history calling, of course. Obviously, could only be one person to do that. But keep in mind, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that people couldn't and didn't reject the call of God on their lives. There are a number of instances in Scripture where people didn't embrace their calling. And of course, actually, probably most all of us know people in and around our own lives who, for whatever reason, decided they didn't want to do what God had called them to do. And you know, God allows people to say no. Now, it's not smart to say no, but the fact is, He calls people to be preachers and teachers and doctors and lawyers and janitors and farmers. God calls people in lots of different capacities. But you know, sometimes people decide, I don't really want to do that. I really think I want to do something else. And sadly, there are those that will reject the call of God. Well, keep in mind, it's important for us to not only say yes to the Lord, but also it's important for us to know why we need to say yes too. Well, part of it is because before the foundation of the world, God knew what He designed and prepared you to do and to be. And the call of God is without repentance. What that means is God, once He calls you to do something, He's never going to change His mind. He's not going to decide, well, I've changed my mind. You can do such and such a thing. No, the Bible says the call of God is without repentance. So whatever your calling is, we're wise to embrace it and to run after that calling. What's tragic is that many times we have callings on our lives, and you have people that if you ask them, what do you feel like God has called? What are one or two things God has called you in your life to do? Very often you run into believers that say, I have no idea what I'm called to do. And that really is a tragedy, because with God's help, you can know what you're called to do. And we're supposed to, as believers, we're to pursue what that calling is and to fulfill it. So when you have believers that live their whole life and have no idea what they're called to do, that becomes a real tragedy. Because remember, our purpose is wrapped up in our calling from God. The reason we were put in the world is all connected to our calling from God. The main way whereby we will be a blessing to the world is wrapped up in our calling. So here in Luke chapter 1, when the angel comes and lays out for Mary, lets her know that she's been called by God to be the mother Messiah, notice how Mary reacts. Again, verse 38 says, Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Continuing on in verse 39, Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now notice, beginning at verse 46, where Mary shares with Elizabeth the expression of her heart in view of the fact that she's grateful that God has called her to this very special calling, and she's embracing it. She's not running from it. She's not telling Elizabeth how afraid she is, but she's trusting God, and she's embracing the call of God. Listen to her words of joy. Verse 46, And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever. So one of the very important and first critical life lessons that we can learn from the life of Mary is that she said yes to God as to what her calling was. And again, remember, every believer has one or a number of important callings on their life. But it's important for us as believers to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm wide open to what you want me to do. Now, it's okay to say, God, just give me some clarity. I'm not really altogether sure, but it's good. But we should decide that we're going to put the weapons of God to work in our lives, learn what our calling is, and do it, whatever that is. So part of the way whereby we've come to discern that calling is ask God for guidance. Lord, open my eyes and my understanding so I can know clearly what you've called me to be. And then begin to speak God's word over your life as well. You know, it's good. The word of God lets us know that we have the mind of Christ. And understand this, the devil will try to cloud your thinking and your thoughts to where he doesn't want you to discern the call of God in your life. And he certainly doesn't want you to fulfill it. So put the weapons to work. Pray and ask God for clarity of direction, discernment, and take the word of God. Pray God's word, speak the word of God over your life, because these are weapons whereby we help to come to have clarity and empowerment to carry out God's call on our lives. So one very important lesson from Mary is whatever God has called you to do, embrace that calling and run after it with all your might. And again, Mary is a wonderful example of someone who did that. Also, I want you to keep this important point in mind too. There are a couple different prophets, and I've talked about this before. Two different prophets, both of whom were called of God to be prophets, and both of them were called to do important tasks in their lives. But you see a big contrast in their approach to what they've been called by God to do. Isaiah was called of God to be a prophet of the Lord, and after God had called him, God gave him a vision of the temple in heaven, and Isaiah was overwhelmed at the vision, but when God again cleanses his mouth and his heart, then God asks the question, who will go for us? Who will I send? And Isaiah's response is, here am I, send me. Isaiah joyfully and graciously and courageously embraces God's call, and he not only is obedient to God's call to be a prophet of the Lord, but he asks God to use him even after his calling. Well, keep in mind, that's a very important lesson for every believer to remember. Not only is God calling you to an important work, whatever he's calling you to do, we should pray for God to bless us as we pursue that calling. We should pray daily for God to prosper us as we pursue that calling. Don't assume it will just fall into place. There are times in which it's the will of God for something to happen, but it may not happen until you pray, you birth it in prayer. I'm reminded of the fact that obviously, Isaac was called to be a man that would bear many, help to birth the nation of Israel. But after he and Rebekah got married, Rebekah wasn't having children. But it wasn't until Isaac prayed for Rebekah, that's when she had children. She didn't just have one, she had twins. But it was very much God's will for Isaac to have children. But his wife didn't conceive until he prayed for her. Many times we need to birth the will of God and the call of God in our lives into fruition through our prayer life. We must be people given to prayer. Lord, thank you for the calling upon every listener today. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear from your word and your spirit, to come to discern your calling and to live it out. Help us, Lord, to be believers that embrace the call of God on our lives and run after you, seeking to fulfill the call of God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to not run from the calling. Help us to run to it and embrace it with the goal of wanting to glorify you tremendously in our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
My friend James Brown, current host of the NFL Today on CBS Sports and Showtime's Inside the NFL, has one of the busiest schedules I know. Yet he goes out of his way to be available to everyone who wants to talk or meet with him. My co-author Nathan Whitaker experienced this firsthand when he attended a Washington Nationals game with JB. Nathan noticed that JB took just as much time to listen to the elevator operator as he did visiting with the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. In God's eyes, and JB's, both of them are very important. Who needs you to make them feel special today?
New York Times bestselling author Tony Dungy. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, during Creation Week, what kinds of fish were created?
Chris, the Bible says God created each of the animals after their kind. It says on day 5 of Creation Week that the fish were the first truly living creature that he created. This was the first use of the term living. On day 3, it created plants, but these are never in Scripture referred to as living in the sense that they had blood or the breath of life. Plants are biologically alive, of course, but not living in the sense of having consciousness. On day 5, however, the Bible says that the oceans were literally teeming with life. Each basic type of fish was created at that point. Since that time, a lot of varieties, say of the cod or the bass or the sharks, have arisen, but no new basic kinds. God created all things after their kind back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Music of Forever Jones, the song simply entitled Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of life lessons from the mother of the Lord Jesus. And we're looking at the life of Mary, the mother of Christ. And one of the very important lessons that we're drawing on first is the fact that she embraced her calling. She was glad to receive her calling. And we were speaking of how that Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament too, he's one who he embraced his calling, and he not only received the call of God and walked it out, but he asked God again to send him, prayed for God to empower him even more so to be used in a mightier way. And what a wonderful and important lesson we draw from the life of Mary. She embraced her call from God. She didn't run from it. She didn't tell God, Lord, you've got the wrong person. She didn't tell God, I'm sorry, I don't see how I can do it. I'm not going to try. She embraced her call. And I want to challenge every mom and everyone else listening, embrace the call of God on your life. Ask God to give you clarity if you feel like you don't have clarity, but let God know, Lord, I'm wide open to what you want me to do. Just help me to know what it is and help me to walk it out. Do you know God is looking for believers who want to be used of him? In fact, as we pray prayers such as, for example, it's a wise thing to pray the prayer of Jabez every single day, first found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, because that's a prayer that can help you to walk out the call of God on your life. Praying the prayer like Isaiah prayed as well. In Isaiah chapter 6, his response to God's call, who will I go, who will I send, who will go for me? His response is, here am I, send me. And so praying the same prayer Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, and praying the same prayer that Isaiah prayed in Isaiah chapter 6, that's a wise thing, and that too is a prayer that can help you live out the call of God upon your life as well. But Mary embraced the call of God, and she rejoiced over the opportunity to serve God in this capacity. Whatever God has called you to do, thank and praise him for that calling. And let him know that with his help, you fully intend to fulfill all of God's call on your life. Lord, thank you again for the calling upon every single believer listening. Anoint us afresh with a spirit of joy and excitement, and help us to live with an excitement and a commitment to want to fulfill all that call out in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, as I said, Isaiah is a good example of someone from the Old Testament, of someone who embraced their calling like Mary did. But then there's another reaction too. Jonah isn't the best of examples. Again, he's someone who reluctantly, he finally did obey the call after going through lots of heartache and trouble. God called him to go to preach to Nineveh. It appears that basically Jonah went in a totally different direction. He didn't want to do what God called him to do. He ran, ended up being swallowed by a fish, and went through great hardship. And finally, after the fish vomited on the shore and God gave him another chance, Jonah did obey again. But as I said, he was reluctant. And also, you may notice at the beginning of the book, Jonah has a bad attitude. And actually, at the end of the book, it sounds like he has a bad attitude then, too. Don't pattern after Jonah in that regard. I would encourage you to be more like Mary as well as Isaiah. Embrace the call of God on your life and run after it. A second important lesson we can draw from the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, is notice in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, notice that it says something pretty interesting about Mary as she observed the life of her child, the baby Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 19. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In other words, after different instances happen, events happen in the life of her baby Jesus, even though he was a child, she took time to really think on what was going on in Jesus's life. She took time to think on and ponder in her heart the events surrounding his life, the things he was going through. And she didn't take it lightly. She thought about it very deeply and heavily. Now, remember, Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God and Jesus are one and the same. So in that regard, a second very important lesson from Mary that we can learn is that we're to meditate and to think hard and ponder the Word of God. Like Mary thought about her little baby and the things he went through, his experiences, the miraculous things happening around his life, we too can do the same kind of thing as we simply read and meditate and ponder the Word of God. Remember, as she thought about her little boy, she was thinking about the Word of God because Jesus is the Word. All of us have the privilege to not only read God's Word, but to meditate, to ponder, to think it over, to mull it over in our minds, because that's how we grow stronger in the Lord. Really spending time reading and meditating on and pondering the Word of God. Because as you're doing that, God speaks to you. He speaks words of wisdom and counsel and insight. He helps you grow in your understanding of how to apply the Word of God as you read it and meditate and think and ponder over God's Word. So like Mary, spend time pondering the Word of God, thinking about it, meditating on it day and night. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. As believers, we're called by the Spirit of God to make time in God's Word a major priority in our lives. In other words, we're not to nibble on the Word of God. to use one of the Bible words that's a very important word spiritually and physically. We're to feast on the Word of God. You know, feasts were very important in God's Word, but more important than feasting on physical food, God wants us to feast on His Word every single day. Not nibble, but to feast, because that's how we spend time consuming the Word of God, allowing it to work on us, and allowing it to begin to deal with us and to really mold and shape us into what God wants it to do and to accomplish in our lives. We're to be students of the Word of God that consume God's Word every single day. So Mary, she would ponder the things that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, He's the Word of God. So basically, meditating on Christ and meditating on Christ, the Word of God, was an important part of what Mary did. Staying in that same chapter 2, then looking specifically at verse 51, it says, "Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart." In other words, there too, it draws out the fact that she thought and pondered hard and heavy on the things that happened to Jesus as a child, as well as He grew up as well. And so, again, she was a good mom. She was an exemplary mom, but she thought long and hard about the things that surrounded the life of her child, who, as it turns out, was not only her son, but also was God. He was the Son of God as well. So she pondered and meditated on Christ and who He was, the Word of God. Then a third and very important point is drawn out in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. And just to read a portion of this passage, this is one that I can't overemphasize, but John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, an important story from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, this one is when Christ is very much an adult, and He's entered into His ministry by this time. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever He says to you, do it.' Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water,' and they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast,' and they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, 'Every man at the beginning sets up the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now.'" So again, a very important but a very powerful story in the life of Jesus and His mother as well. Notice the passage starts out by mentioning that there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and it says the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus' mother, Mary, had come to the wedding. Now notice it says in verse 2, "Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding." Now someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding. And so Jesus' mother's there, and Jesus and His disciples are there too. Whoever it was, probably the groom, had invited Jesus and His disciples to the wedding. Well, keep in mind, a very important lesson from this story is, just like someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to this wedding, you and I are wise to invite Jesus into the affairs, the events, the challenges, and the situations of our lives through our prayer life. It's through prayer we invite Jesus to come in and have a hand and to be involved in our lives as we pray and commit matters and concerns and issues in our lives to God in prayer. Through prayer, we invite Jesus into all the areas of our life as we pray about all the areas of our life. Well, while there, quickly, a problem turns up. Jesus' mother notices that they've run out of wine. Now, it doesn't ever indicate that Jesus' mother is in charge of the wedding. But see, there's some powerful truths behind this. When Mary learns of this problem, she quickly goes to Jesus and tells Him the problem. Now, why would Mary go to Jesus? Remember, she's not in charge of the wedding. But an important lesson we can draw from this is that Mary, remember, she raised Jesus. She raised Him from a child. Though Jesus was a child, Jesus never stopped being God as well. And one thing Mary knew from raising Jesus was that Jesus fixes problems. He did it as a child. He did it as an adult as well. And so she went to Jesus because she knew, well, Jesus can help with a problem like this one too. Well, notice now, again, now, verse 4 sometimes can be a little baffling to people because on the surface, it may appear that Jesus was rude to his mom. Now, of course, keep in mind, Jesus was never rude to his mother under any circumstances, even if the text comes across that way, but there's a cultural issue here. But a helpful truth to remember here is, notice Jesus' mother doesn't appear to be offended in the least. She immediately assumes Jesus is going to do something because notice her response. His mother said to his servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." So again, don't let that verse throw you. Jesus wasn't rude to his mom. It's just in translation, it may come across that way, but it wasn't at all. But again, his mom immediately responds to the people, just basically, "Let me tell you what to do," because Jesus is about to fix this situation. And she says to them, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Now, Mary was talking to servants that were standing nearby, but God was speaking through Mary to all of us as well. A very important life truth and life lesson for us to learn from the mother of Jesus here is, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it, and you'll be blessed for it. In other words, God's word means what it says. And when you hear God's word and obey it, it will always lead to blessing. Every act of obedience is followed by an outpouring of grace in your life. And so in this case, Mary simply told him, whatever he tells you to do, do it, and watch God bless in this situation. And of course, so the servants, they follow Jesus' direction. Jesus tells them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. Then he tells them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast, and they took it. And of course, when the master of the feast tastes it, he doesn't taste water, he tastes wine. And as it turns out, it's the best wine they've had all day long. And he's very impressed, so much so that he gives a great compliment to the bridegroom. He says to the bridegroom, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You've kept the good wine until now. So again, because Jesus was at this young man's wedding, the young man ends up becoming tremendously blessed in the wedding. And also, he comes out looking really, really good because he ends up with some outstanding wine, the wine Jesus turned from water into wine. Well, again, a very important point to note here is, again, a lesson from that God sends us through the mother of Jesus is, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So when you read the word of God and you obey it, there will be blessing following that every time you obey the word of God. When the Spirit of God tells you to do something, do it. Because remember, that's how God solves problems. Many times in your life when you pray and ask God for guidance or direction or help in a given situation, often the Spirit of God will give you insight about what to do and how to do it. And our job is to obey. So when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, be sure and do it, because typically that will lead to the answer and the resolving of the problem. On the other hand, when the Spirit of God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you can miss your blessing and miss the answer to your prayer as well. So whatever God tells you to do by his word or by his Spirit, simply do it. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be hearers and doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example that we learn through the life of the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary. And thank you for the wonderful counsel she gives when she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Lord, help us to live that way every single day of our lives, that as you speak to us, as you give us guidance and direction about what to do or how to do in our lives, help us to be believers that live an obedient life and live an obedient lifestyle. Help us to learn to live a lifestyle of continually telling you, yes, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want, that's what I want to do. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience. And anoint us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to fill our hearts and our minds with your words so that we'll continually hear the words you speak to us by the word of God, but also help us more and more to have ears to hear as you speak to us by your spirit, words that will give us guidance, counsel, and direction, and that will help us resolve the problems and the challenges in our lives as you give us wisdom, help, guidance, and direction. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession today as we're looking at the topic of life lessons from the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
Listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacy on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says when things go from bad to worse, your deliverance and destiny may be just around the corner. He has a story about that to share with us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A bird one day was delaying in flying south. It should have flown south earlier, but it didn't. The cold weather came in unexpectedly. It was too cold for him to fly. It got so cold and he froze so bad, he fell off the tree into the pasture. And all he saw was death. Along came a cow. The cow came along and had to relieve itself. Manure fell on the frozen bird. The frozen bird said, oh no, not only am I freezing, but now I'm in a mess. But as he was there, he began to notice that the manure was warm. He wasn't in a mess, he was in a hot mess. And the hot mess began to water down the ice. The mess he was in began to melt him. He began to feel his wings begin to move. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're in a frozen state and can't move, and if you're in a messy situation, God is so great. He can turn your mess into a hot mess, and he can make it melt your circumstances, turn you around, and get your wings up and flapping again. Somebody here believes Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord, a plan for your well-being and not for your calamity, to give you a future and to give you a hope. I'm talking about a destiny, significance, meaning, purpose. You are somebody.
Tony has a 10-message series exploring the equipment we need to build a healthy spiritual life. Check out the Spiritual Toolkit when you visit tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
What if your greatest trial was your greatest victory? What if your greatest problem was your greatest blessing? What if the hardest test you've seen became your testimony? All the great men that came through something. What if your greatest trial was your greatest victory? What if your greatest problem was your greatest blessing? What if the hardest test you've seen became your testimony? All the great men that I know came through something. Give your life to God. He's gonna work it out for you. We all have dreams.
The music of Adam and Tara Lowry, the song Give Your Life to God. Thanks for listening to the Arvina session here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of life lessons from the mother of the Lord Jesus. And hope this will bless and encourage every single mom, every mother that's listening, and every believer listening as well, though. Because again, remember, all of us have a calling that's upon our life that's an important one. And like Mary, again, she embraced her call, the call of God upon her life, and ran after that calling. She didn't run from it. She didn't tell God that he had the wrong person, but she embraced that calling. Remember, every believer, whatever the call of God is on your life, embrace that calling. Run after it. Run after it with excitement and with a vigor, and let God know that you're wanting to fully fulfill all he's called you to do. And let God know that on a regular basis. That's a wise thing to do. And then also keep in mind, too, in addition to that, as believers, we also need to ponder, again, read and meditate on the Word of God. That's an important stepping stone to help us fulfill God's call. Every believer is called to be a student of the Word of God. And like Mary would often ponder and think about Christ and the things of Christ as she raised him, we too are called to be students of the Word of God who read and meditate and ponder and think on the Word of God as a lifestyle. In fact, if you're a believer that's not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. I often encourage a habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. That's a good spiritual meal that will strengthen you, build you, edify you, and prepare you for the daily battles of your life. And if you don't think 3 chapters is enough, wonderful. Again, the fact is you can't overeat God's Word. It will only bless and encourage and empower you all the more. So also take time to read and meditate and ponder on God's Word like Mary. Think often on Christ, who is the Word of God, and daily, on a daily basis, read and meditate on God's Word. Then thirdly, then, obey what God tells you in his Word. Just like the Lord said through Mother Mary in John chapter 2, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Live an obedient lifestyle. Whatever God tells you in his Word, do it. Whatever he tells you and speaks to you and leads you to do by his Spirit, do just that. Because remember, if you selectively are wise enough to hear the voice of God and obey it, it always leads to blessing. Every act of obedience is followed by an outpouring of God's grace and blessing on your life. So that's an important goal to pursue. Then fourthly and finally then, be faithful all your life long. Again, the fourth and very important lesson from the life of Mary that you see is be faithful all your life long. Remember, Mary was called as a young lady, probably a teenage girl of around age 15 or so, when she was called to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, too, she stuck with her son, supported his ministry all his life, and even at the cross, Mary is one of the few followers of Christ that was right there with her. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, right there, again, there were many of his followers that were off in hiding, including most of his disciples. In fact, the only disciple that was at the cross was the Apostle John. But there were a number of women, and one of those faithful women was, of course, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in John chapter 19, it tells us this instance that happened at the cross as Jesus hung there before he died. Chapter 19, verse 25 says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And so we see the mother of Jesus was there all the way throughout his life, and even at his death on the cross, she was there as well. And of course, obviously, she was there at the time of his resurrection as well. She was faithful. She faithfully carried out the important call of being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she faithfully carried out that calling. And to this day, her life stands as a wonderful role model in so many ways of what a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ was. Now, keep in mind, there are a number of very unique things about the life of Mary in that, like, you know, Jesus is the only person that walked this earth that had the privilege of choosing who his own mother would be, and he chose Mary. He's the only person that walked the earth that had the chance to choose his mother's name as well, and as it turns out, her name was Mary. Now notice actually in the story of the death of Christ on the cross there were several Marys there. Mary, his mom, was one of them, but there were other Marys as well. But the point is, though, Mary is a good role model in many, many ways. So, like Mary was faithful from beginning to end, you be faithful as well. Now, some may sometimes ask, well, what happened to Joseph? Well, Scripture doesn't specifically say, but apparently he passed away sometime between Jesus being 12 years of age and his beginning his earthly ministry. But keep this very important point in mind. Don't think that Mary had a life of ease, because apparently she went through hardship and difficulty, and so apparently had to endure the life of a widow, losing her husband, it appears, at an early age, and was probably a single mother raising a child for a period of time as well. But also, you find that even at the cross, keep in mind, yes, Jesus was the Savior. He was and is the Savior of the world. He was dying on the cross to pay for our sins. But keep in mind, there was only one person who was his earthly mother. And she had to trust God to see her son go through great, great suffering, great hardship and difficulty. And for every mother, every parent listening, if you could even begin to try to imagine what it was like to see your child, your precious child, and of course, for many, obviously for moms and dads, many times your children will always be your babies. They'll always be your little ones, and you see them that way. How often, probably, as Jesus hung on the cross, she saw her little boy hanging there and wanted so badly to try to somehow or another be in his place. But of course, Jesus is the only one that could die for our sins. No one else could have done it. And so Jesus endured the work of the cross by the grace of God. But again, it was a tough and a difficult task. But by the grace of God, Mary walked out that call of God of being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. And so even through Simeon earlier in the life of Christ, when he was a very small baby, it had been prophesied that a sword would pierce her own soul. And of course, when she saw her son hanging on the cross, that's apparently exactly what happened. So it wasn't an easy calling, but Mary beautifully walked out the calling of being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, just to review once again, four very important life lessons we can draw from the life of Mary was, number one, she embraced her calling. And all of us should seek to do the same. Whatever God is calling you to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all the strength God provides. And run after God and let God know, Lord, I'm wide open to what you want me to do. Just empower me to give you my best. Anoint me afresh with the spirit of zeal and commitment to be faithful. And then secondly, then also be a student of God's word. Like Mary would think on the events surrounding Christ's life. You know, and interesting to note how Scripture phrases Mary doing this. Notice again, this is in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She thought often about the things surrounding Jesus' life, both when he was born, when he was a young child, as she was raising him, and even as an adult. She thought about these things. She pondered them. And we too can read and meditate and ponder the Word of God in a very similar way. As Mary, she pondered the events and the situation surrounding the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Fill your life with the Word of God. Again, reading and meditating on God's Word every day is so important for every believer. Again, if you have a lifestyle, live a lifestyle of simply nibbling on the Word of God, reading bits and pieces rather than feasting on God's Word every day, you can expect all your life to be spiritually anemic, to not be strong and vibrant in the Lord. On the other hand, if you fill your mind and heart with the Word of God daily, and as you read and meditate on that Word daily, it will help you to become a vibrant, strong servant that God can use to do great things, to do exploits in the world. The study of God, your personal study of God's Word, is so important to everything. Don't ever take that lightly. I'm reminded of the fact that the great servant of the Lord, John Wesley, he used the term means of grace. That was his word for spiritual disciplines. Remember this, everything that's important in your life, you form habits around those things, whatever it might be. Well, just like you get up and go to work every day, that's a habit. When you get up and brush your teeth and take a shower every day, those are habits. Why? Because those are important things to be done. Well, just like we do those things, some people are diligent about the habit of going to work, the habit of taking care of certain other important responsibilities, but they're haphazard when it comes to spiritual things. They read their Bible from time to time when they get around to it. Well, remember, because it's important, we must form habits around our spiritual our spiritual walk with God as well. We need to form the habit of reading God's word every day. We need to form the habit of praying every day. We need to form the habit of obeying, living out what we know God has called us to every single day. So that's a very important thing to do as well. So like Mary, ponder the word of God and ponder the things surrounding Jesus Christ, who is the word of God. And thirdly, then, be obedient. Whatever he tells you to do, do it, as the Lord said through Mother Mary in chapter 2. When God tells you to do something, be sure you do it. I like to encourage believers to pray the Ten Commandments every single day because they encompass a life of obedience for us as believers. And praying them daily is basically asking God by his Spirit to help you obey his will on a day-by-day basis. So thirdly, then, again, obey what you learn from God. And then finally, be faithful all your life. Mary was faithful from the time before Christ was born. When he was born, she was faithful as a mom to raise and guide and mold and shape him. She was faithful, and she continued to follow him even as after he became an adult and carried out his adult ministry. And so again, all of these are areas and ways in which we too can be faithful as we hear God's word and obey it. All these areas, like Mary, we can be faithful in all these areas of our lives. So finally then, be faithful all your life long. Live for the Lord as a young person. Live for the Lord in your middle ages. Live for the Lord as you grow older. Live for the Lord in your mature years, because there's no better life you can possibly live. Lord, thank you again for the wonderful ways that the mother of Jesus, Mary, is a wonderful role model for us in many ways. Thank you for the call of God upon her life. Thank you for the way she followed you. Thank you for the way that in many ways she pointed people to you throughout her lifetime. Thank you for the fact that even today, in many ways, her life can be a great role model for us to look at in so, so many ways. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit that would encourage us to embrace the call upon our lives. Help us to have the attitude of praying daily that you would reignite us in running after the call of God upon our life, whatever that might be, and help us to not get off course, but help us to focus on carrying out your calling, knowing that whatever the calling is, it's an important one. Help us also to be faithful, Lord, to remember to read and meditate on your word every day. Help us to recognize that no matter how busy we are, we should never get so busy that we don't spend time reading and meditating on your word. And help us, Lord, also to be an obedient people, that as we learn your will from your word and by your Spirit, that we'll choose to always obey. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of faithfulness. Help us to live all our life long faithfully following you, being students of your word, obedient to what we hear and learn, and living that out. Thank you for the chance to be faithful all of our life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for being a part of our listening family as we look today at the topic of life lessons from the mother of the Lord Jesus. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.